Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Line four's on the right, babe.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back. Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9.
On the fan, McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. It's back. The forever holiday. My goodness, it's been 2 weeks. We're back. Back to normal. Jack on the other side, 888-808-1019. Taking your calls till 5 o'clock in the warm show. And yeah, it finally is back. I mean, the kids are still off till Monday, and I just got notification that it might snow up by me on Monday, 3 to 6 inches. They'll probably have up on Monday, too. I love them, but I'm never getting rid of them. But that comes with the plan, right? But my wife is off. Everyone's off. Feels like it's been forever. It's good to be back here on a football Friday, no less. Our last football Friday, and thank the good Lord. Of all the great Christmas presents we might have gotten all year, the idea that this is the last football Friday, at least for here and locally, obviously, as the playoffs will start. And we had college football, obviously Notre Dame with a big win, and we'll continue to have, you know, another three college football games. But the last football Friday for our two locals, and it could be a last for a lot of different people. Obviously, the Jets are looking for a new GM, looking for a new head coach. They just finalize the meeting with Lewis Reddick for their position. We're going to get to Aaron Rodgers and some of the things I've heard out of him and maybe looking forward with Aaron Rodgers back with this team, as that's a forever conversation. But for the Giants, it might well be the last game of Shane and Dable. It might very well be the last opportunity to get a quarterback. And yes, I'm hung up on the quarterback. We'll talk about Saquon Barkley. I'm obviously having his fun with a sleeping commercial, which I actually got a kick out of. And that's the new me in the new year. Maybe to laugh at things, maybe a little bit. The Saquon Barkley commercial I can laugh at. All the memes on New Year's Eve about Aaron Judge dropping the baseball, I've actually been able to chuckle at a little bit. I'm feeling a little bit better, trying to have a better outlook on things. But the New York Giants are still pissed me off. And this Sunday, make no mistake, it's the first time in weeks that I am absolutely glued to the television. This is the most important Giants football game they have played in a long time. And it's frustrating that this is the circumstances, but this is it. Because I firmly believe, and I know many of you don't, and I find it funny, the quarterback conversation around these parts, because, you know, I understand that these aren't the greatest prospects in the history of the world. I understand this is not Andrew Luck. I understand this is not Trevor Lawrence. I understand this is not John Elway. I understand these, you know, Peyton Manning. It's not one of the great draft classes of all time. But we've seen great draft classes be terrible at the top and bottom. We've seen poor quarterbacks we didn't think would be anything. Like, we've seen it up and down. And I know that's part of the crapshoot of the draft and why many of you, for whatever reason, aren't hung up on it. But the fact of the matter is, where the Giants could fall in this game if they were to win it against an Eagles team that's not going to try, right? An Eagles team that is not playing Saquon Barkley, even though he's poised to break the rushing record. He's satisfied with 200. Apparently, he's sleeping well at night with 2,000, rather, excuse me. Apparently, he's sleeping just fine heading into a game and not needing to play as he's getting ready for the playoffs, and the Giants are getting ready to figure out who the hell they are and who they're going to be led by, and where they're going to draft. And for me, I believe the Giants, need to draft a quarterback. That's what the Giants need to do. I'm in that camp. I listened a lot to the afternoon show today, and I know a lot of you out there have been hitting me up on Twitter. I know many of you don't believe that. And this is where the entire season is won or lost for me. Because for me to go through this year, as miserable as it was, and the prospects of next year, and me and Keith talked about this the other day, and they were talking about it on the morning show, the home schedule for next year, even though they're a last place finish, is going to be brutal. The prospects of the Giants winning next year are very low. We are going to continue to have losing football with the New York Giants, one way or another. And maybe the draft class will be better next year and you can find pieces. I can't continue to play this game. I don't care what it's going to look like next year. I need to find the quarterback for the future of this team. And drafting one of these two quarterbacks that are pro quarterback prospects. Make no mistake, Sanders and Ward are two of a handful of players that are being talked about as legitimate first-round grades. It's not just the quarterback position that's light in this NFL draft. You could argue the entire draft is a light draft this year compared to some others. And if the New York Giants win this game and they fall to 8 or 9, it is going to be exceedingly difficult to move up and get that quarterback. This is a huge game for the New York Giants and the future of the franchise. So much is based on this meaningless game that the Eagles won't care about. It will determine so many things, including for me, the value of keeping the GM and the head coach. Because for me, this regime, although Joe Shane has drafted fairly well this last draft, at least that. Let's give him, he's had some bust. Evan Neal's a colossal miss. Like, he's had some terrible drafts. This last draft was pretty good, right? He's drafted, he got a running back, he got some defensive backs. Like, this last draft was a positive for Joe Shane. And if you're basing it just on that moving forward with Joe Shane, okay. But the fact of the matter to me is, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, in my opinion, should be tied at the hip. And if they aren't going to get a young quarterback, if they're going to go a different route here, it's a tough sell for me on these two. And that's kind of what Evan was talking about today, and I understand his point, and we've mentioned it too, the idea of these two needing to get a quarterback. Well, here's what I'll say on a couple of different things about this regime and the idea if they need to get a quarterback. Because if they believe they need to get a quarterback, they better lose this game. Because I don't think, as much as I will tell you, that I believe Sanders can be a quarterback in the NFL, and I believe Ward can be a quarterback in the NFL, I don't know if it's worth trading up from 8 or 9. I don't see a path that far away from the top of this draft. And make no mistake, they're going 1-2. The quarterbacks are going 1-2. Whether New England's drafting there or someone else is drafting there, they will trade out if they don't want a quarterback. Anyone sitting 1 or 2 will either draft a quarterback or trade to someone who will draft a quarterback. That's what's going to happen in this NFL draft. So that's where the Giants need to be if they are going to draft one of these young quarterbacks. And if they are picking 8th or 9th, I honestly don't believe, I do believe that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll want to stay, clearly. And there's just a report out now that Brian Daboll's already putting together an extensive plan to show ownership why he deserves to stay. And clearly, drafting a young quarterback and giving that project, because that's what young quarterbacks are. Some win right away, Jaden Daniels. Some take time, Josh Allen. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, if they get that project, are going to be given time. So that's one fear I want to like relieve, that I think, you know, we have this belief that if they lose again, and next year is going to be a John Mara is not an idiot. As much as we have disagreed with some of his decisions, as much as he's been a bad hire, as much as we talk about owners who get their job and get the ownership of the team through their father, have failed, Woody Johnson, you know, or James Dolan, and all the rich, the people who haven't made it, their money on their own to buy the team, who've come from rich families and been able to be put in this position because of their fathers. As much as we're down on John Mara at the moment, flying planes over the building, I don't believe him to be an idiot. And if he is going to give Joe Shane and Brian Daboll an opportunity to move forward with this organization, when you look at the schedule next year, when you look at where this roster is, whether they draft a quarterback or not, but particularly if they draft the quarterback, they are not pulling the string on Shane and Daboll after one more year of non-success when they just allowed them to draft or and or trade up for or push it down the line. No matter what you look at, if they're allowed to take a quarterback, there is no way that this owner is going to pull the plug a year in when you allow someone to make that decision. And this has been the fear of a lot of people that, oh, Shane and Daboll, if you let them trade up for a quarterback, if you let them make this pick and then they lose again next year, well, now you can't keep them after another year of losing. Yes, you can. If you stick with Shane and Daboll off of the last 3 years, if the last 3 years and the last 2 years in particular, obviously, of losing wasn't enough to cost them their jobs on the 100-year anniversary, going 1-8 at home, having a dead season again by October, showing some of the most inept offense from an offensive head coach that we have seen, especially in their building, in the history of the New York Giants, if that isn't enough, if the plan is still to show faith in them, if the plan is still to believe in what they're selling, if the plan is to allow them to make a decision like who's the franchise quarterback for the next 10 years, and what they do with a first overall pick or a fourth overall pick or to continue along after this miserable year, you are investing years into them. You are allowing them to continue with this rebuild. You are not, no matter how ugly it gets next year, going to pull the rug out from under them then. That would make no sense. It's either now or you believe in the process with them. And especially if they trade up for a quarterback. So it's not like, oh, I'm afraid that if I keep Shane and Daboll, and I allow them to make a blockbuster move like trading up from 4, trading up from 5, to get that first pick and draft a young quarterback, if it doesn't go well next year, well, now I'm firing them and this next regime and head coach is stuck with this quarterback that they might not love. I don't buy that at all. I don't think that's a fear. If they're allowed to do something like that, you best bet that John Mara is going to allow them to see it through. Because again, next year is not going to be pretty. What does John Mara think? Look at what they've done the last 2 years. Look at this roster that's got one Pro Bowler on it. One Pro Bowler from both teams in New York. Dexter Lawrence is the only Pro Bowler on this New York Giant football team. They've got some young talent. They've got a young running back, a young stud wide receiver, a couple of defensive backs, a left tackle that, if healthy, is one of the top in the league. They have some ability. But if you draft a young quarterback, and especially one that isn't expected to step right into the NFL and dominate, you know what next year is going to look like. It would be foolish for this owner to allow them to make that move and then pull the rug. If he is sticking with them, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are going to be here for the next 2-3 years. Mark my words. And I'm sorry, I fall into the camp that this team, unless they have the quarterback position solved, you don't have anything solved. Sure, are there other teams who've won in different ways? Sure. Can you bring in a Sam Darnold and make it work? Yes. Are there other ways to go win? Absolutely. Are there easier ways? No, there aren't. And if Shane and Daboll love the quarterback, you have to go get him. That is the quickest way to turn this team around. And that's why the loss against the win against the Colts was so devastating. And that's why this game against the nemesis, Philadelphia Eagles, will determine, in my mind, many things. Because if I'm the owner of this football team, and I have an honest conversation with them and say, well, if we're drafting eighth or ninth, what is the realistic chances of moving up to the top of the draft? Because it's one thing to be at the top of the draft and just take a pick, right? Even if you're not sure on Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, if you're just sitting there at number one, the juice is worth the squeeze with a quarterback, because you could be wrong on any position, as we've seen. We've seen busts at every single position. None of them, if you're right, changes your team the way the quarterback does. So if you're sitting there 1-2, even if you're not sure, you have to take a quarterback. I remember I was talking with Nick Costos the day I filled in with Sal, and I told him my concern about a new regime coming in. He wants Brian Daboll and everybody fired. And I'm like, what if a new regime comes in and doesn't want a quarterback? He's like, Chris, if they're drafting first or second, they have to take a quarterback. There'll be mutiny. Now I'm starting to feel that way. Like, even if you're at the top of the draft, you have to take a quarterback. And if you have one, then you trade back. And that's why we all still have hope that it's possible, because New England's drafting first and they have the answer at quarterback. If you're at the top, you take a quarterback. The Giants were there. Shane and Daboll were there to draft a young quarterback and take their chances that they could develop him and that he was the right guy. But to move up, to give up draft equity from 4, if they love him, I do it. If you just like him and you're sitting there, you have to. If you're at 4 and you love him, you have to. If you're at 8 and you love him, you have to, but it's damn near impossible. So oddly enough, in my mind, right now, as Brian Daboll is preparing some sort of plan to provide John Mara with some sort of manifesto, some 400-page booklet like Bill Belichick prepared for the Carolina Tar Heels, like as he's preparing to keep his job, in my mind, he better freaking lose the game. Because if he wins it, if he has another culture win to end the season, and he puts himself and he puts Joe Shane and he puts the organization in an almost impossible place to get one of those two quarterbacks, well, now it becomes a hell of a lot less imperative to keep an offensive coach whose calling card is working with young quarterbacks. Plain and simple. I'm not worried about moving up and losing Shane and Daboll. I'm not worried about forcing the young quarterback in a situation. I'm worried that they won't be able to. If there isn't a young quarterback on this roster because they can't move up, because there's going to be other teams that might need a quarterback between 1 and 8 that New England would rather trade with. Forget what you're willing to give up. Forget that you want to. Forget that you love him. Forget that you need Sanders. You believe in him. You want him. You want Ward. You believe in him. You're going to go up and try and trade for him. At 8 or 9, you might not be able to. It takes 2 to tango. At 4, possible. At 8, damn near impossible. Very difficult. So forget whether or not they should move up, and whether or not they're forced to move up, or whether or not you feel like this regime is tied to a quarterback. Forget that. They should be. The Giants should do everything they could to get a quarterback. But if they can't, what do I need them for? I'm going to watch this game hoping they lose so the coach can stay. Hoping they lose so that they can find a pathway to get the young quarterback. Because if they win the game, I don't care that Brian Daboll rallied the troops. I don't care that on the last 2 weeks of the season, he beat a Colts team that didn't seem to give a damn and an Eagles team that surely doesn't give a damn. What the hell do I care? What do I care that he figured out a way to get a bad quarterback to give him good quarterback play for 2 weeks on a dead season after they lost 10 in a row? I don't care. The only thing keeping Brian Daboll as the head coach of the New York Giants is giving him a young quarterback to develop. And if he doesn't have one, even if they want, like at that point, it's going to be a hard thing to sell to me that I'm going to be able. Hey, John, we love him. We're going to go get him. How are you going to get him from 8? And is it worth it to, you know, now you're talking about multiple first-round picks. You are talking about a haul to move up from 8. You can take a risk when it's just a pick. Now it's a pick, and it's 3-4 other picks. This game will determine the structure of the New York Giants for the foreseeable future. It's a meaningless game that the Eagles don't care about, that the running back has an opportunity to break the rushing record and they're sitting him instead. No one cares about this game. And yet it can be a pendulum in what kind of season and, what kind of future the New York Giants have. It's crazy on this Football Friday. Who needs it? I don't need it. We'll get into the Jets as well as we'll say goodbye to probably the Aaron Rodgers history with the New York Jets, although I don't think they should say goodbye just yet. We'll get to that as well. A little Yankee news and the epiphany I had about the New York Yankees. Or should I say, not so much an epiphany, but I was sitting around today and I was watching Paul Goldschmidt and his media availability, which to me is just dumb. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm not saying you need a press conference for a one-year signing of a veteran first baseman for $12.5 million, but like, can you give me something, yes? Like, I turn on, Paul Goldschmidt will be on at 1 o'clock. I turn it on. It's like you missed half of the first question. Can you have a little bit of setup? Can you put somebody in the studio to set this thing up? Like, something? I turn it on at 1 o'clock. I'm watching, I forget what it was, but my son's like, I thought you said we had to take my video game off so I could watch a press conference. I'm like, I thought there was something coming up. And then they cut to it, and it's like half. I missed the beginning part of the first question. Like, if it's just going to be some half-ass Zoom that nobody cares about, just put it out on social media. Oh, I was watching the replay of the net game. But I had, as I was watching that press conference and telling my son, don't worry, we'll get right back to playing Madden, I had a thought. I had something that I just can't seem to get out of my head. So we'll get to that as well. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Taking you all the way to 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Your call's next. All right. 228. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Sorry, the voice is still a little raspy. Still dealing with a little bit of a... You know, it's only been like, you know, I don't know, 5 weeks, so it's probably nothing. But it's good to be back, and then, of course, the first day, I mean, I guess sort of back, I was, you know, some of us still work this week, as Keith and I did a couple shows at the end of last week and then the beginning of this week. But good to be back in the normal swing of things, except, you know, like a dope, I forgot my pass to get in the building. First day back on a Football Friday. I my wife for Christmas bought me one of those. I was notorious. Ask Marco. He makes fun of me every time I have it out here on the table here in front of me. I was famous for having a Costanza wallet. More Seinfeld references. I had a big leather, brown leather bifold wallet that, you know, anything that came across my path got put in my wallet. And I had this, you know, I have a bunch of cards in it and whatever else. Like, I don't know, you know, I keep everything too much. So I have this big, fat wallet. And so my wife for Christmas got me one of these Ridge wallets. It's like two metal casing. Of course, it's a Yankee one, my Yankee Ridge wallet. It's like two metal casings with, like, you know, a plastic stretchy strap. And it just holds things tight, and it's much more compact, and I have a little money clip on the back to keep the money. Like, it's just a lot more compact than a big wallet. And the pass to get in the building and in the offices here at WFN was too big to fit in there. And I would have to take it out every time to, like, scan it, because these things also have that anti-theft, like, it won't work on the scanner. So I put them on a lanyard, like many people wear around here, the pass to get in, and I attach that to my keys. And my wife is off tomorrow. I walk outside to come here, and there's a little bit of snow on the ground. It wasn't a lot, but there's a little bit of snow. My wife's car handles a little bit better in the snow than mine does. So I was like, you know what? I'll just take. And I think she had gas in the car, so I knew I wouldn't have to refill the gas because I was driving around earlier today. We went bowling. So I was like, you know, I'll just take your car. No problem. My lanyard with my pass is attached to my keys, not hers. So I'm like, I'm an hour into the drive, and I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Like, I realized, and like, you know, and it's just Jack here. Like, nobody's here. I know I'm going to inconvenience somebody by having to come all the way downstairs, let me in. This is how the year starts. Not good. And I'm still dealing with a cough. And I actually bowled under 100 in the second game we bowled. Under 100. What happened to me? Under 100. We bowled three games. I bowled a 136, then I bowled a 97, and then I bowled a 124. But a 97. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. I gotta go back to the bowling alley. And my wife's gonna be like, where are you? I'll be like, home in a half hour, hon. I'm gonna work on my game. I never under 100? I'm not happy with the 136 as a high watermark. Now, I haven't bowled in a long time, but still unacceptable. Do you know who I am? I'm Gary, 2001 Athlete of the Year. I can't be going around bowling a 97. I have a reputation to uphold. 888-808-1019. And, of course, the Giants have no reputation to uphold. And it is amazing to me. It's one of these things that's stuck in my craw. Like, this whole situation, the winning the game against the Colts, the amount of idiots there are out there, and that's probably a strong word, the amount of people out there who are happy that the Giants won that football game or satisfied in some sort of way has driven me absolutely nuts. The people who can't see the logic on why that win was a freaking disaster and why the win this Sunday could be a freaking disaster. And the idea that this meaningless game is going to have so much of an impact on the organization is really bothering me, because it's not just whether or not they draft a quarterback. It almost... in my mind, should determine whether or not the coach and GM come back. And that was, I was listening to Evan today. That's kind of his point. I just don't see it exactly in the same light, because I think they should draft the young quarterback no matter what. I want Shane and Dable to be here because I do believe they're forced to draft a quarterback, and I do believe that's the right thing to do. I just don't know if you're going to be in a position to do it at 8 or 9. I get 4, you can sell me on a pathway to trade up to 1. 8, with multiple teams in between who are going to need quarterbacks? I mean, it's possible, but they got to make a decision on the regime before that pick gets made. And if Dable isn't developing a young quarterback, then I don't know why he's here. If they're going to punt the quarterback decision, if they're going to bring in some veteran and figure, like, I got to deal with them next year when you know they're going to lose. They're still going to be a bad team next year, especially without a real quarterback. So I got to deal with another year of loss and then hope that the quarterback is in the draft that year. What if they do win a couple games? What if they win, and you don't need to win that many. They're going to win 4 this year and possibly draft 8th or 9th. What if they win another 4 next year and draft 10th and aren't in a position to get a quarterback again? Like, now's the time. So I want Shane and Dable to be here because I want to move heaven and earth to get that quarterback. And even if they're drafting 8th, I'm doing everything I can to get it. It sucks that they had for free what they will now have to pay a heavy price for. But hey, they got 2 culture wins, so it was worth it. The people in the building the other day got to see and celebrate a victory. And they got something to applaud. Great. Real happy about that. I got to sit on my couch and root against my team. It was the low point of my fandom. It was miserable. Oh, and I heard something today. We'll get to this as well. I heard a plan. There's another league, apparently I think it was a female hockey league, that has an interesting way to handle tanking and how to prevent teams from trying to lose games. And I know the NFL might not have a tanking problem necessarily. I understand that, although, the Browns are starting Billy Zappi, right? They're starting Zappi. Let's see how many people want to kill the Browns for not going out there trying to win. New England's not going to go try and win. Only the Giants have to have culture wins. Everybody else is allowed to just put their feet up, not the Giants. But I know they don't have necessarily a tanking problem in the NFL where teams are doing it like a lot, but no fan should ever, I feel strongly about this because it's all about the fans. This is what it's for. Like, yes, it's about competition. Yes, it's about this. It's an entertainment for the fans. That's what this whole thing is. It's about the fans. And no fan should ever have to sit on that couch and root against their football team. Ever. So I don't know if they should institute a lottery or the idea I'm going to give you in a little bit that apparently some female hockey league does. Because I found it interesting. So we'll get to that as well. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. John in Montville. What's up, John?
Hey, Chris. How are you, bud?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. Listen, this organization is a complete embarrassment. They can't win right. Like, obviously, they can't even lose right at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, the Eagles have no reason to win this game. Why would they want to help the Giants even have a chance at a quarterback? So They're going to do everything they can to lose. So we're going to get the 8th pick. So you went from locked up 1 to now you're going to have 8 or 9 or whatever they're going to end up with. For what? Like you said, culture wins? I mean, this isn't Johnny's Little League team. Congratulations, guys. You got a 3rd win. You got a 4th win. These are grown men.
Correct.
Right? Like, it's an embarrassment. It's a complete embarrassment.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's had a conversation or not, but if he hasn't had a conversation knowing he's staying or going at this point, if he knows, hey, on Monday I'm getting fired, he's going to win these games. I mean, he's sabotaging the team to win the game.
Well,
so
I mean,
at this point, I feel like he had to have a convo.
I don't think
he did. Hey, you're staying or not. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, I do, John, and I wish, and thank you for the call, because I wish he did. I wish John Mara went to them at some point this year and said, you're safe, or fired him. Because if they're coaching for their jobs, I agree. And now, it's not so much to stick it to the organization necessarily. And again, there are reports out there now that Brian Daboll is currently putting together a plan for Monday to try and keep his job and trying to explain why he deserves to keep his job. The prevailing feeling out there from what you're reading and what's being reported is that Joe Shane seems to be safe. The feeling out there is Joe Shane is coming back, but that Brian Daboll is a question mark. It's kind of the reporting is pretty much that John Mara doesn't want to fire anybody. That he would, you know, if he had his, he would rather keep them both, but he's definitely keeping Joe Shane, and Brian Daboll is on the hot seat a little bit. That's kind of the feeling. Now, I don't know if that's just because it's easier to just bring in another head coach as opposed to going through an entire search for another GM and coach. Maybe he's found the GM searches to be more difficult, or I don't know. It can't be necessarily that he's done a better job than Brian Daboll, because I don't know how you can make that case. Like, neither of them have done a good job, but year one, I mean, he took another man's roster. I mean, it wasn't even Shane's team yet. And he led them to the playoffs in a road playoff victory, and he was coach of the year. Now, the last 2 years have been brutal, don't get me wrong, but what has Joe Shane done to even come close to the success that Brian Daboll at least had year one? And what he was able to do with Daniel Jones. And he stopped the turnovers. Really, he didn't make him an explosive playmaker. He didn't make that offense an explosive offense. He certainly didn't help him throw touchdown passes. He only threw 15 touchdown passes, but he just turned off the turnover spigot. Like, he just turned it right off. He was one of the most, if not the most, turned over quarterback in the league. He threw a terrible red zone interception week one against Tennessee. Daboll got in his face, and that was it. He ended up being the least percentage-wise turnover quarterback in the entire NFL, and he coached that team to 9 wins, a playoff appearance, and a road victory. So to me, if you're just going on the merits of the job, I don't think it's close. I think Brian Daboll's done a better job than Joe Shane has done. But it sounds like he's preparing to fight for his job. So I don't think he's had a conversation at all about like, they've had conversations, I'm sure, but it's never been, you're coming back, you're not coming back. It's, we'll talk when the season's over. But they talk about the game plan each week. They talk about that game. I mean, he's got a relationship with him. But I'm sure nothing definitive has been said. And then as far as winning it to stick it to the team, Lovie Smith did that a couple years ago and ended up helping the Texans because they ended up getting the 2nd pick and C.J. Stroud fell to them. Now, Bryce Young has played better the last 5 or 6 weeks and is starting to look like maybe he is, or at least could be, a franchise quarterback in this league. And Stroud has even taken a couple steps back. You know, they've been he's been less successful than he was last year. But I don't think Brian Daboll would win this game to sabotage the team. I don't think they look at it the way we look at it, man. Me and Keith talked about this a lot over the last couple days. Like, they don't look at it this way. They want to win the football game. He wants to win the football game to have wins next to his name. Plain and simple. Whether he gets fired, if he gets fired, he wants wins on his resume. If he gets, you know, if he to keep his job, he wants to sell victories. They don't look at it, hey, you know, I knew we were better off losing this game, so I lost it. You're welcome. Like, that's not, he's not going to go into John Mara's office and say that. John Mara doesn't view it that way. So, like, I get that. That's the whole thing. Like, we got to understand, and most people do. Like, tanking isn't about, and again, it's not even tanking. Like, it's the word we use to describe the situation. The reality of the situation is it comes to a point where losing is beneficial. Plain and simple. That's it. It's not necessarily that we expect players to go out there and play poorly on purpose or throw interceptions on purpose or fumble up on purpose or miss tackles on purpose. Like, we understand. They're going to go out there and play their ass off, and they should, and I want them to. I'm not mad at Malik Nabers for having a big-time game. I'm not mad. Well, maybe I'm a little mad at Drew Locke for suddenly playing freaking perfect football. I mean, maybe I'm a little pissed at that, but no.
Yeah, like, that was ridiculous.
I mean, it's just absurd.
It's like all of a sudden now you want to play amazing football.
That's what I'm saying. It's frustrating. Crazy. It's frustrating. I'm with you. So like him, maybe I'm a little mad at. But like I get it. They're going to go out there and play their best, and the coach is going to coach to his ability. Fine. That's why, you know, on teams who don't want to win, they bench players. That's why Zappe is going to play quarterback for the Browns. That's why May probably won't play for the Patriots. You can bench them, but you can't ask them not to play hard. I mean, they're professional athletes, and even if they're not going to be part of this team moving forward, they want to put good film. They want to put good tape down so they can show other organizations they're worthy of another contract. So, like, I get it. I get it. I'm not mad that they won the game. I'm mad that they lost the 10 in a row prior. I'm mad they put themselves in a position where losing was beneficial and winning hindered them. That's what pisses me off, that they're in a position like that, and that I got to watch the game hoping they lose because it's better for them. It's not about, oh, what idiots, drop that ball. Oh, what idiots, don't go into the end zone. Oh, what idiots, you know, throw the ball into the ground. No, I get it. They're going to go out there and play their best. What idiots that they couldn't win the previous 10 games, any of them. That's where they're the idiots. But I think Brian Daboll thinks his job is up for grabs. I think he thinks he's coaching for his job right now, and I think he's coming up with a plan to tell him why he should stay. And for me, that plan has to include the ability to develop a young quarterback, because I think there is proof he can do it. There's Josh Allen, there's the one good year of Daniel Jones. Well, you know, what he got out of Tommy DeVito last year. Like, there's proof when he works with a young quarterback. DeVito went from not, he was the backup quarterback who got into a game against the Jets and was told not to throw the football. He wasn't allowed to even throw the football because he probably hadn't worked with the team. It's the Jets defense. It was in the rain. Fine. He was told not to throw the football. 2 weeks later, he's beaten Green Bay, or 3 weeks later, he's beaten Green Bay. Like, I do believe Brian Daboll can do this. That's what this all comes down to for me as well. You hired a coach and a GM because they drafted and developed Josh Allen, and you never let them do it. And now they had it right in front of them, and now they're going to have to get creative to do it. And if this game goes the Giants' way, I don't know how creative you could possibly get. So, I mean, because the Raiders are going to be ahead of you. So right there, the Raiders are going to have a better, I mean, they could be ahead of you. I mean, there's going to be teams that are going to have the need for a quarterback and a better pick to offer. If the Raiders lose and you end up with 4 wins, the Raiders are ahead of you. The Jets are ahead of you. They might be looking to draft a quarterback. Cleveland and Tennessee obviously already will be ahead of you. It's just, it's a crappy situation. And I'm, and again, for me, as much as this is a maligned quarterback group, I do believe these two guys are capable of being NFL quarterbacks. And if they are, that's the best and quickest way to turn this thing around. Like, are there other options? Of course. Are there other ways to go about it? Sure, when you don't have options, when you don't have the ability to draft a young quarterback, and you have to do this. Like, even you want to say, oh, Sam Darnold. Yeah, Sam Darnold was brought into, they drafted J.J. McCarthy. Like, it's sheer luck that Sam Darnold has worked out this way. They have a great offensive head coach. And Sam Darnold's still 27, 28, and that's why they're going to stick with him. You want to figure out a way to bring a young quarterback in here and take a shot with him? You want to bring in Justin Fields and see if Brian Daboll can develop him? Okay, great. A failed quarterback at two different spots got beat out by Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, as well as what happened with him in Chicago. Like, there's just, they need to go get their young quarterback and start rebuilding this thing. And they should, I wish they would have done it last year. They didn't. Now you got to do it this year. But it's very difficult if you're drafting eighth or ninth. Quick break. We'll come back, talk a little Jets, talk a little baseball, get into a method of possibly helping fans not have to root against their own teams. All on the table, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show right here on The Fan. All right, 254, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. So, I think I've heard this plan before, but I saw it today on, as I was flipping through, Instagram or something, I saw this guy talking about it. I feel like I've heard this plan before, but maybe not recently, and it sounded like a decent idea, as opposed to a lottery, right? Because listen, I don't know if the NFL has a tanking problem, quote-unquote. I don't think you see year after year teams just not playing, you know, benching guys, you know, 4 weeks left. Like, I understand that. But I do believe that this is all about the fans. And putting the fans through this sucks. You should never be rooting against your team. So, and the idea that there is going to be some of this, like, Cleveland's going to clearly try not to win the game. I think the Giants should treat this as a preseason game. I'll be totally honest with you. I think they should, play a different quarter. If the game's close in the second half, do not try and win this football game. Like, if you are tied at halftime, Malik Nabers doesn't need to play the second half. And if Drew Lock is playing well, Tommy DeVito can be the second half starter. Like, plain and simple. The guys on the field have to play hard, but you could take some of the best players off the field. The Eagles aren't treating it like it's a game. Why do the Giants have to? Like, I just don't understand the logic. I don't know why one team would get criticized for it and the other one gets praised for it. Because I understand it's about next week, right? And you're worried about injuries and Saquon Barkley getting injured in this game hurts them next week. I get it. Or the week after or whenever. Yeah, I get it. But winning the football game for the New York Giants hurts their future. Like, one team is sitting players because it's in their best interest. The other team would be sitting players because it's in their best interest. What's the difference? The immediacy of it being, you know, next week? They're both black and white. It's both sit helps, plain and simple. But I did see this thing where, instead of a lottery, you could accrue draft points. You could have a draft point system where as soon as a team is eliminated from playoff contention, they can begin accruing draft points by playing well. I don't know if it's necessarily tied to wins, but it can be touchdowns, you know, obviously victories. It could be you get points for point differential in losses. I don't know, whatever. However they would add up the points, you get points for whatever. But it would still help the lesser teams, because the teams that get eliminated first would be able to start accruing points before every other team. So at least you would have a reason to go out there and continue to play well, and you'd have a reason for the fans to continue to root for the team. Season's dead? Okay. Now go out there and play well and get more draft points than anybody else and pick first. Like, that makes sense to me. That's actually a good idea. It's better than a lottery, and it's certainly better than go out there and lose, please, so I don't lose my quarterback. Go out there and lose, please, so I don't lose the first draft. Oh, my God, I can't believe they just returned that kickoff for a touchdown. I'm sick to my stomach. Like, I don't need that in my life. I don't need it. I think draft points actually make sense. The minute you're eliminated, the next week you start accruing draft points by playing well. I don't know if it could just be wins, because they're bad teams theoretically and can't win. But it could be wins, it could be touchdowns, it could be turnovers, I don't know, something. Come up with a system on how the points are divvied, but that makes sense to me. Give a reason to get behind your team when the season's dead. Give a reason to keep watching. Think about it too, because we could become indifferent. And that's the one thing. Like, football is the easiest sport to become indifferent about your team. Because baseball, it's a long season, and it's so territorial and regional. Like, if you're going to give up on the Mets or Yankees, you're probably just giving up on the sport. It's not, you're going to still watch it if you love baseball. But football, I got a million options. Obviously, gambling is much more prevalent. Fantasy is much more prevalent. Just watching the games every week. Like, there's a million things to turn to once the Giants are dead to me. It's not this, like, it's so easy once your season is dead for you to become irrelevant. Not care about your team at all, become complacent and not care about your team, because you could still care about football in 100 different ways. So at least this would give you some sort of, like, if you were trying to accrue draft points after you're eliminated, it gives me a reason to watch the Giants. After the season's over, it gives you a reason to root for them. It gives you a reason to not, again, sit on your couch and scream and curse When Jonathan Taylor drops a hook and ladder that would have sent him into the end zone for a 2-point conversion to tie your team. I shouldn't be pissed when Jonathan Taylor drops a ball. I don't want to do that. Let's figure out a way so that I can be happy when the Giants hold a lead. That's all. I understand. Again, I understand there isn't necessarily a quote-unquote tanking issue in the NFL. I don't think it's that prevalent. I don't think teams are doing it all that much. Maybe the last week, maybe the last 2 weeks. It's not something that's ruining the sport. It's not something the NFL has to figure out for the betterment of the league. But the fans are the league. And no fan should sit on their couch and root for their team to lose. And you can tell me then don't. Sorry. I have too much logic. I have too much reasoning behind my thought. Like, it benefits them too greatly. Because now, look at it. Theoretically, they had the number one pick. And whether you like these quarterbacks or not, they had the number one pick. They could have taken a franchise quarterback. They could have got a haul for the franchise quarterback. They could have taken a player they believe is a two-way, unbelievable player in Hunter. They could have done a ton of things. They owned the draft. Two absolutely meaningless wins later, they could be drafting ninth. Like, that sucks. I'm still hung up on it. I know. I'm still hung up on it. I can't get over it. I need to work on it, because I'm telling you. And now this week, the difference between 4-8 or 4-9 and the ability to move up and get that quarterback, forget about it. And then we're going to have another year of Shane and Dable rebuild without the most important piece of the rebuild. Here you go. Go rebuild and then bring in a veteran quarterback for that rebuild. And give this coach, who literally got hired as a coach because he helped develop Josh Allen, let's hire this guy, keep him here through the two worst years you could ever possibly imagine, and still never give him the opportunity to do the one thing you hired him for. It makes no sense. Makes no sense. And it's frustrating. And this is how we say goodbye. say goodbye to the Giants season with the most meaningless game that could impact their future at such a high level. It's crazy. 888-808-1019. We'll have the update, quick break. Come back to a little Jets, a little bit of baseball, too, because I was watching that press conference today, if you want to call it that, the Zoom that the Yankees held for Paul Goldschmidt, and something just clicked inside me. And now I've completely changed my train of thought on the whole Yankee offseason. So we got to figure it out. 888-808-1019. Here's Marco.